It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Susan Schmidt is here, brought to you by DeBrier University's Keller Graduate School of Management. You're watching your money. Isn't that exactly the case? What are we going to do about that, Susan Schmidt? Brexit has happened. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were predicting this was going to go the other way within the last couple of weeks. And we've been talking about this, obviously, for the last month and a half or whatever while we do this segment with you. And now here it is. And it's a shocker, right?
It is a shocker. So not only were we predicting that the UK would elect to stay, but everyone was predicting that. So this was a huge surprise to the markets last night, and it is going to have some ripples, but it's important to remember that this is really about politics. So this has nothing to do and is nothing like the 2007, 2008, 2009 corrections that we saw in the market. This is all about politics. This has nothing to do with financials. We had a financial crisis before. This is just a political crisis, and the markets are going to recover from this more quickly as a result.
All right, but explain what the British relationship with the EU was, because they got their own currency. They still have the pound. The EU obviously has the euro dollar. So what was this?
So that's a very important distinction, because the Britain did maintain the British pound, so they never adopted the euro as a currency. And they have a non-euro country, right, because they don't have the euro, they have their own currency, exiting the EU. That's a lot easier than having an EU country abandoning the euro, the current currency that they're using. So Britain, in many ways, has already isolated itself from impact on the euro. You're going to see some issues with exchange rate because everyone's nervous about the British pound right now. They don't know what's happening, so there's a flight to safety and to other currencies. But overall, now it goes to a lot of negotiations, trade negotiations, reworking the relationship that they have with the EU and just restating those. So they're no longer a member. They're just going to be a trading partner.
But now, the president said a couple of months ago when he had David Cameron in the United States, they were talking about potential for all of this. He sent a not-so-veiled warning to the voters in Great Britain or in the United Kingdom to say, hey, listen, if you do this, if you exit, you go to the back of the queue, as he said, trying to use their own language, right? Go to the back of the queue in terms of trade negotiations. First of all, what does that mean? And is he right? And does he have to change his mind now?
Well, it's right in a certain sense, because this is really going to put the UK and Britain in the penalty box a little bit. The EU is not happy that Britain's making this move. And so as a trading partner, you know, 50% of the exports from Britain go into the EU. As a trading partner, the EU is going to, I think, punish Britain probably going forward and make it, you know, a tough deal for them to exit. So as they set up the new trading laws, they're feeling slighted. It's like a broken relationship. So they, you know, the EU got dumped. They're not happy about it. Britain's still got to work with them. They've got to figure out how to work this out. It's going to be tough for the U.S. to separate ties from Britain because they're an important trading partner for us, too. So I don't know that the president is going to be able to maybe he overstated just a little bit on the impact that we might have on Britain and trading should this come to pass, because at the end of the day, our agreements with them on trade are very separate from what they are with the EU. It's probably going to be okay. Britain's just got a bumpy period right now to go through as they figure out all the politics around this.
Well, he already sort of backed off that this morning in a written statement. He said that he respected the vote of the British people and blah, 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 blah. So I don't even know what that means eventually. But, that was political posturing because obviously David Cameron didn't want to do it. Now let's talk a little bit about that. How much of an impact do you think financially there's going to be on the markets with David Cameron having to leave as prime minister, that political instability in England and how that actually expands around the world?
Well, the instability in England is what's going to be the focus, and that makes people nervous. And they're going to be nervous about other countries in the European Union, and is there contagion from this? And it comes down to a matter of confidence. So will people feel confident enough to spend? What does this mean? What are they going to have to do with policy, monetary policy in England. How are they going to fix that going forward? Cameron stepping down is not a surprise. People knew that if this election went to leave and Britain was going to exit the EU, Cameron was going to lose party support and have to step back. So he's going to resign in about 3 months. Whoever the next prime minister is comes in. The minute that then they'll start the clock. Once they declare that we're leaving the EU, then it's 2 years of negotiations to figure out how they actually exit. There are 19,000 different trade agreements that need to be renegotiated now. So that's going to take some time. That uncertainty is going to cloud the political environment. And remember, we have other countries with elections coming up. So France, the Netherlands, Spain.
Spain is going to the polls on Sunday. So do they have a Spexit on their docket here? I mean, are they going to be voting to leave? And wouldn't the rest of Europe go ahead, say it. Don't let the door itch on the way out.
So no, not as easy for Spain because Spain uses the euro. So not as easy an extraction process for Spain. In some ways, I think Spain would like to perhaps remove itself from the EU. But that's been an ongoing thought for a while. Remember that Greece also wanted to remove themselves from the EU, and that turned out to be, you know, a tempest in a teapot that didn't really go anywhere. So I don't think in any of these upcoming elections we're going to see another country, particularly one that has switched and uses the euro, step out of the EU. But I do think we're going to see a little bit of hesitancy, some political uncertainty. And when you get political uncertainty, remember that all these countries have their own version, and the EU has their own version of our Janet Yellen. And so it's going to be very important what the policy is and what the decision makers do with interest rates, money supply, and just reinstilling a sense of confidence in the market.
All right, Susan Schmidt, from a point of winners and losers economically here, business-wise here, who do you think the biggest winner is now that Britain has chosen to exit the EU?
Well, the U.S. consumer does stand to benefit from this a little bit. And I think that's something to keep in mind, particularly, as you know, I'm focused on investing domestically. So with that in mind, the consumer here actually goes to a little bit stronger position. This is going to dampen the outlook for oil. So we've seen oil prices come in. They're down about 6% so far. And we've seen the U.S. Treasury's interest rates are coming down again because there's this flight from outside money coming into buying U.S. Treasuries. So the interest rate on that is coming down as a result. And it makes for a better backdrop. You know, we've got stronger dollar, lower oil, lower interest rates. Those are all good things for the U.S. consumer. So I think the U.S. consumer is probably a little bit better off because of this. Now, it's going to hurt exporters and multinationals and their investment plans overseas. And lower oil does hurt pockets of industrial. But net-net for us in the U.S., I think we're okay.
When you say that the consumer is going to benefit from this, there's a couple different things, right? Because the dollar is stronger against international currencies, right? So there is the potential that the sort of muscle behind that would be good for us in terms of buying imports.
Yes. So our buying power is increasing with that. So, for example, relative to the U.S. dollar, the British pound just dropped 10%. So if you were planning a trip to England, now everything just got 10% cheaper. You know, we're seeing a little discount in the euro as well. So it's a benefit for U.S. consumers in that way because imports will be cheaper for us, and so they'll have more buying power. And then on top of that, gas is going to come down again. We're seeing oil prices fall because there's a concern about economic activity globally because of this. And so with that, then people are backing off. Usually oil surges when people think that there's a lot of industrial growth ahead. So that's being tempered. And so we're seeing probably a lower price at the pumps in a couple of months, too.
Okay, who's the biggest loser?
I really do think the biggest loser right now is going to be, it's a tie between Britain and the EU. No one really wins in this in the short term because those 19,000 trade agreements, all of the paperwork and the mess that has to be renegotiated and sorted out between the two. This is a fractured relationship, and it's going to make it very hard for the EU to calm the rest of the member nations. And it's really a tough road for Britain for the next couple of years as they sort through all of this.
Are there sectors that you think are going to be important here to invest in that either are going to be more stable or be advantaged by this?
Again, if you're isolated from any of this noise, and that would mean someone who's just investing domestically in the U.S., that's a plus for you because you don't have to worry about it. You'll be insulated from it to a greater extent. Sectors that I think are going to be hurt by this are big banks that have international exposure. European banks are going to be definitely hurt by this as they're trying to figure out how to rebalance and what happens with the interest rates now across the EU and in England. And I think that overall, the market, while it's reacting negatively right now, is going to balance itself out. And what's interesting to note is, yes, it's down. It looks like it's a scary event. But we're really back to the levels where we were when we started the quarter. You know, markets are still, U.S. markets are still up year to date. So I think this all settles out when we talk about it again in a month. It's going to be back to focusing on the U.S. elections, focusing on U.S. interest rates, and turning to, you know, the upcoming politics right here at home.
If there is, in fact, some kind of a recession in England as a result of this, or on the European continent as a result of this, do you think it happens and starts to spread before the American election? And what impact do you think that would have?
No, I think that's far too soon a time frame for that. So England economically has been doing very well. In fact, they've been doing much better than mainland Europe. So England itself is in a good position. We expect that the England Central Bank, their version of our Janet Yellen, will drop interest rates to further stimulate the economy and help things smooth out through this. And then we've already seen Draghi, who's the head of the European Community Bank, come out and say that he's going to support Europe in any circumstance. Well, this clearly qualifies as any circumstance. And so we're seeing a lot of stimulus and support for the EU. So I don't think that we're really going to see a contagion. I think England will have a momentary pause and then stabilize. And I think Europe is going to have, again, political shock, but the underlying economy, I think, is going to, again, pause and stabilize. No recession can take place that quickly before our U.S. elections where it would cause contagion and spillover.
Susie Sunshine, should I be scared?
Aren't you always?
Well, I guess that answers that. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas, and it's all brought to you by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. She's watching your money. We're watching her watch your money, and then the money's being watched. And that's the most important thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.